Well, good morning.
Morning.
Welcome to Union Congregational Church, a church in the United Church of Christ, where no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. Welcome on this cold, cold day. And we're glad that you're here. And if you are watching online from the comfort of your home, perhaps with cozy pajamas and a cup of coffee, you are welcome here too, and we are glad that you're with us. And I wish I was in my pajamas with a cup of coffee right now, pastors don't get that luxury, I suppose. So I've got a couple of announcements. Giving statements are here. If you need yours, Shirley Williams will be at the back with those. And also tomorrow I will be working from home for the day, and then I'll be at council in person tomorrow night. But Alana will be in the office if you need in-person assistance, and then otherwise you can always give me a call or text or an email with my cell phone. You are always more than welcome to do that. Are there any other announcements this morning for the good of the order? Okay. Now let us share the peace of Christ with one another. And if you are new here, there are many ways we can do that. We can handshake, we can hug, we can wave. And if you wave, we won't touch you. And we also know that in addition to spreading the peace of Christ, we could also be spreading germs, because this is the time of year we're in. So if you are or have been ill, just be mindful of that. And there is hand sanitizer in the back if you'd like it. So peace be with you, friends.
Please stand if it's comfortable for you to do so. Join me for the call of worship. We gather this day grateful for all the gifts shared in this community. There are different ministries. Let us worship the giver of all gifts. Join me in the unison prayer. O divine host, all people may take refuge in the shadow of your wings, for your steadfast love extends to the heavens and your faithfulness to the clouds. When we worry that we do not have enough, help us remember that you turned water, the simplest of elements, into the very best wine, and that you have given each of us great gifts for the common good. O God, let our hospitality be as abundant as your love, and let our solidarity be as constant as your faithfulness. This we pray, empowered by that same Holy Spirit who provides each and every gift. Amen. Stay standing, and our opening hymn is number 649.
You may be seated. If there are any young worshipers here who are with us, come join Becky and I up on the steps if you'd like.
Buddy, all right. We got a couple. Super. How are you guys? Come on up. Good deal. So, I had all these little kid questions in mind, and now I got big kids up here today, so I'm going to have to rephrase it.
It's all good.
Yeah. Do you guys have chores that you have to do at home?
Yes.
Yeah. Can you name a chore that you have to do? What's your responsibilities are?
Feed the dog, water the dog, and...
You said feed the dog, water the dog, take him outside too sometimes?
Yeah.
What do you have to do?
Do the laundry.
Laundry.
Do you do just your laundry or all of the laundry for everybody?
All the laundry.
Oh, wow.
All of the laundry. All of it. Do you ever have to do it all by yourself?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You have to do it all by yourself sometimes. You too? You feed the dog all by yourself. Do you have other chores too? You just didn't name them. Nope, that's the only chore you have to do. Never have to pick up your toys, never have to make your bed, nothing, right? No? You sure? Yeah. So my question, the theme today is working together. Jesus likes it. He loves seeing us work together on things. Take the church, for instance. If we didn't have a pastor and didn't have Alana as a secretary, and didn't have our payroll person and our accounts receivable person and all these beautiful people out here to help with coffee hour and reading like Rick. Oh, it would be hard if Jacob had to do all this by himself. How about that, Jacob? Would you like that?
It would be something.
Yeah. Pastor Jacob, this would be a whole different church without all of our help, right? Yeah. So why does Jesus want us to work together on things? What are some of the cool things that come out of working together? Can you think of anything? If you ever had to do a really big task, is it more fun to do it as a group?
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. You know, I think about decorating this church for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
If I had to do this all by myself, you'd be lucky to get a tree up. Maybe one of those little ones.
Yeah. But have any of you had a group project in school, and then sometimes one person in the group ends up doing all the work?
Does that ever happen?
Yeah.
It's no fun.
That's not very fun. No. And then all the rest of the people in the group take credit.
Yeah.
And that's not, yeah.
Yeah, working together does. It makes it fun. I think that's why mission work is so fun. I loved going down to, now I can't think of it. It was Feeding America.
That was
fun. It was fun to do it. It was supposedly work, but when you're doing it in a group and socializing as you're doing it, it makes everything a lot more fun. And it goes faster and the job gets done quicker, right? So if your sister would only pitch in with the laundry, since you have to do it all by yourself, that would make it so much easier. Caitlin, no, I'm just teasing. Just teasing. All right. So Jesus wants us to work together, and it makes him happy when he sees us cooperate. And you're going to play a fun game in the back today that kind of demonstrates that. Pastor Jacob, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Absolutely. So I'm going to say a short phrase, and I invite you all to repeat it back to me. Dear God, thank you for all the ways we can learn from cooperating together. Help us share your love everywhere we go. Amen. Thanks for coming up, guys.
Our Old Testament reading this morning is from 1 Corinthians 12, verses 1 through 11. Brothers and sisters, I don't want you to be ignorant about spiritual gifts. You knew that when you were Gentiles, you were often misled by false gods that can't even speak. So I want you to make it clear to you that no one says Jesus is cursed when speaking by God's Spirit, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are different ministries and the same Lord. And there are different activities, but the same God who produces all of them in everyone. A demonstration of the Spirit is given to each person for the common good. A word of wisdom is given by the Spirit to one person, a word of knowledge to another according to the same Spirit, faith to still another by the same Spirit, gifts of healing to another in the one Spirit, performance of miracles to another, prophecy to another, the ability to tell spirits apart to another, different kinds of tongues to another, and the interpretation of the tongues to another. All these things are produced by the one and same Spirit, who gives what the Spirit wants to each person. And our New Testament reading is from John 2, verses 1 through 11. On the third day there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus' disciples were also invited to the celebration. When the wine ran out, Jesus' mother said to him, "They don't have any wine." Jesus replied, "Woman, what does it have to do with me? My time hasn't come yet." His mother told the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby were six stone water jars used for the Jewish cleansing ritual, each able to hold between 20 and 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water," and they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some of them and take it to the head waiter," and they did. The head waiter tasted the water that had become wine. He didn't know where it came from, though his servants who had drawn the water knew. The head waiter called the groom and said, "Everyone serves the good wine first. They bring out the second-rate wine only when the guests are drinking freely. You kept the good wine until now." This was the first miraculous sign that Jesus did in Cana of Galilee. He revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Here ends the readings for today. May God bless us as we learn from these holy words. Amen.
Doesn't say anything about daycare. No. Well, why are you coming?
Thank you, Rick.
Because these are the items that I'm paying out of pocket.
My friends, will you join me in prayer? God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts in this hour be acceptable to you, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So I'm going to do something a little bit different today. I'm going to tell you what the point of the sermon is first, and then I'm going to give you the whole message behind it. So the point is this. Sometimes the gifts we have aren't revealed until we trust that God gives us what we need to do God's work. Sometimes the gifts we have aren't revealed until we trust that God gives us what we need to do God's work. That happened to me relatively recently, actually. So during Thanksgiving break, I got an email from a colleague, the Reverend Brianna Illinay, who serves the Wisconsin Council of Churches, which is an ecumenical organization. Multi-denominations and everything like that. And they are doing a worship series for this coming Lent on repenting from Christian nationalism. And they asked me to write a song to accompany that worship series. And so any church across the state of Wisconsin, and actually their work is known other places other than just Wisconsin, any church that uses this sermon series will have access to the song that I wrote. It's really cool, and I'm really honored to, of course, have the opportunity to share this kind of ministry. But I really thought to myself, surely there are better songwriters out there. You know, surely there are there are more people that are more experienced who might be better up to the task, right? I'm just me. I'm a 30-year-old pastor who happens to write songs every so often, and am I really the right person? But they said to me, you know, you are a musician that a lot of people in this area have come to trust, and you are a pastor that a lot of people in this area have come to trust. So we believe in you, and we think that what you have to offer will be really good. So it was a really beautiful opportunity and affirmation of what I had to share. And we might end up using, I think we're going to use this series for Lent, because the more and more I worked on it, along with some of the resources, I got a preview of some of the resources that they're using, and gosh, they're just incredible. So I think we might use it, and then we'll end up using the song that I wrote. So you'll get to experience it too. But the gift and the reminder that I got from that was sometimes God gives you a task, maybe through other people, and if you're willing, you just say yes, and God does the rest, right? You know, we don't always think we're cut out for something, but if we're willing to follow where God leads us, God does the rest and makes a way out of seemingly no way. And, you know, I wonder sometimes, maybe some of you have had experiences like that. You know, not all of you are songwriters, but there's got to be some time in your life that maybe that's happened to you, where other people have seen your gifts before you have and given you a little bit of a nudge to share them. And, you know, if we feel this way, we are probably in good company with Jesus in this time. This is, you know, his first opportunity to kind of strut his stuff, right? So to set the scene here, we have to remember how big of a deal weddings were in biblical times. Most of you have probably planned a wedding, right? Most of you have, whether it was your own wedding or a child's wedding or something like that, and you know how big of a deal it is, right? There are lots of decisions to be made. There are lots of details to think about. There's a lot of money that changes hands and all that sort of thing. But in biblical times, weddings were an even bigger deal than they are now, if you can imagine it, because they were multi-day affairs. And if you were invited to a wedding, you were pretty important. That was a big deal. And Jesus knew this. Jesus was well aware. His mother Mary asked him to do something about the fact that the wine has run out. And Jesus responds in such a way that I think many of us can probably resonate with. He says, "What does that have to do with me? My time hasn't come yet." And he actually says, "Woman, how many of you have dared to call your mother woman?" Nobody? I didn't think so. I haven't either. I'd probably wouldn't be the first thing I would do. But actually, he does, this is a pattern for Jesus. He does this once during this time, the wedding at Cana, and then another time when he is on the cross. And he says, "My time hasn't come yet." And what he means by saying that my time hasn't come yet, he is referencing the crucifixion, right? The apex of Jesus' ministry for Jesus is the crucifixion. He knows how this movie is going to end, right? But in a broader sense, I would sort of think that, you know, maybe Jesus is saying, "My time hasn't come yet. I'm not cut out for this," right? But somehow his mother convinces him, as mothers do, and all of a sudden his mother is telling the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." And then something extraordinary happens, right? Something happens that changes the whole course of what people think about Jesus. And he has an opportunity to show his glory, and then finally other people believe in him because of this amazing thing that he's done. Right? And so, of course, none of us are going to compare ourselves to Jesus. But because Jesus is human, Jesus understands and resonates with the experience of feeling like he might not be enough, and that he might not be cut out for the task ahead. And yet somehow there's enough wine for everybody. And somehow his glory is revealed in an unexpected way. And to a certain degree, I can resonate with that sort of feeling, right? And maybe you can too. Like the story that I began the message with, our gifts were sort of made manifest in some unexpected way. You know, both of us, I mean, myself and all of you can probably resonate with a moment like that in your own life. Maybe there's been a way that you've been invited to share your gifts and to share what you've been given with the world, even when you yourself might not have felt like you were cut out for it. But that's exactly how the gifts of God manifest. The text from 1 Corinthians for today, Paul talks about the various gifts that were given, and they're given to each person by the same Spirit of God, which enables each of us to do what we can for the common good. And all of these gifts have a ripple effect on others. Maybe my song will help other people think about the issues of Christian nationalism and why it's something we need to repent from, and broaden people's perspectives. Those of you who are teachers, maybe your classroom lessons or anyone who's taught Sunday school, your Sunday school lessons will equip those who experience your teaching with what they need to face this complicated world. Maybe those of us who work with those who live with mental illness might be able to help reduce the stigma of living with anxiety and depression and give people support if they need it. Because we're all just trying to get through the day in our own way. So I said it before, and I'll say it again. Sometimes the gifts we have aren't revealed until we trust that God gives us what we need to do God's work. So as you go into this week, I invite you to think about how you might trust in the gifts God gives you. Everybody in this congregation has something that makes this community richer. And this community of faith is richer because of what everybody brings to it. So how will you let your light shine in this community and broader? There are so many people who are hurting, and there are so many people who in need of hope. And you have something to give them. You have something to give them. On this day before Martin Luther King Jr. Day, I think about him and his gifts and the ways that he made our country better, something closer to equal rights for all people could finally be realized because of his dream. Now, of course, we have plenty of work to do that would help his dream be fully realized, but there are plenty of ways that his work was a catalyst for where we are now. And even though our particular gifts and the ways that we express them might not be as sweeping or consequential as someone like Martin Luther King, I'm confident that because of who you are as people, that there is a gift you can share with the world that makes the world a better place. So may you go with confidence into this world, sharing the gifts God has given you. May you have people in your life who give you a little bit of a nudge. Brianna was that for me. Jesus' mother was that for him. May you have somebody in your life that gives you a nudge and says to people around you, listen and do whatever he tells you, do whatever she tells you, do whatever they tell you. And watch what happens. Because it's in sharing those gifts that God's broader community will be made better. Thanks be to God. Amen. So I have a song to share. sort of in light of that, I've shared this before, I think, but it's one of those songs that bears repeating. It's called One Spirit of Love. Many are the wonders of God, many doors open wide, many roads that are still untraveled. Many are the gifts that we share, many burdens we bear, many mysteries still unraveled. Many gifts, one spirit of love, one spirit of love. Many gifts, one spirit of love, one spirit of love. Oh, some will be the teachers of life, some the preachers of love, some the fathers and some the mothers. Some will be the ones who will care, others listen and share, serving God as they serve each other. Many gifts, one spirit of love, one spirit. The heart of the earth, and the hands that will break new ground. Celebrate the gifts from within. Now it's time to begin. God's people can turn this world around now. Many gifts, one spirit of love, one spirit. Enter into a time of more intentional prayer, thinking of the people and situations that are on our hearts and need our prayers and love today. So let's take a few moments of silence as we think of those folks. Receive the prayers of our hearts, O God. Amen. So I've got a couple of prayer requests. The first is Warren Mecklenburg. He is in the hospital in Beaver Dam dealing with bronchitis. So if I say, God in your mercy, will you respond, receive our prayer for Warren and Judy and their medical team. God in your mercy. And my mom told me I could give you an update on how she's doing. Lots of folks have have asked me, you know, every week what's going on. And so my mom had her second chemo treatment on Thursday, and her doctor was really pleased with how she's tolerating the treatment. We don't actually know right now how the tumor is doing because she's gonna have a scan at a later date. So she's now had she's had three chemo treatments now. So she will find out soon how the treatment is actually going. We do know that she'll have three more treatments from now. So she gives you lots of thanks for all her all your prayers, and keep them coming, she says. So for my mom and for her medical team, God in your mercy. Anything else today? Okay.
I have a couple on Zoom.
Yes.
Just with thanks for the ceasefire and the release this morning of the hostages, may this effort continue through phase one and two, and phase two to accomplish a lasting peace.
Yeah.
And then also to the good people in California who are busy helping their neighbors.
Mm. Yeah. For both of those difficult things happening around the world, and noticing that there are glimmers of hope in these situations, God in your mercy. Then let us be in a time of prayer. God, in your grace and love, you bring us together to remind us that we each have something to share to make the world better. You remind us that this church cannot be what it is, this world cannot be what it is without each one of us. And it is indeed in that spirit that we ask for your presence to be with all of those whose names have been spoken, and to be with all of us as we help them, because prayer is not just about serving those people out there. It is empowering each of us to help in ways that we can. So as we remember people in our lives and in our hearts that are in times of need, may we be empowered to help them through our words and actions. May we be empowered to help those who don't have a roof over their head in these times of dangerously cold temperatures. And in this time, if people don't have enough food, or if people don't have enough money, or if people don't have enough of their basic needs, may we be empowered to help them in ways that we can. If people are discriminated against for being who they are, may we shine the light of hope and the light of inclusion. We ask all of these things in the name of your Son, Jesus, who showed us the way and taught us to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." The time has come to offer our gifts back to God. Here at UCC Waupun, we give thanks for all gifts that are given, whether through time, talent, treasure, or prayer. You may place your gift into the offering plate as the ushers come around, or you may also give online at uccwaupun.net. But however you give, may you give with generous hearts as your heart and spirit invite you to give. Join me in the prayer of dedication. Holy One, may our gifts declare your glory and benefit the common good. Receive them with our gratitude for your generosity and our opportunity to participate in your kingdom on earth. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 577, Sing a New Church into Being. We'll be singing 1, 3, 4, and 5. My friends, receive these words of benediction. You have feasted on God's abundance and drunk deeply from the fountain of life. But God's abundance is not for us alone. It is for all. Go and share what you have been given for the common good. And now may the love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Go in peace. Amen.